This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know why I think this is so fascinating for us to watch? I just figured it out.
Yeah.
When we were, before any of us were born, and even for a couple of us like Dan and me, maybe for a year or two after we were born, too young to remember, this is how astronauts returned back to the Earth in the Apollo mission. When we were growing up, we were used to a plane looking like shuttle.
Yeah.
That would just land on a runway.
Right.
And this is the first time I think I've ever watched live a space capsule come parachuting back to the Earth and splashing into the ocean. And I found it fascinating.
Oh, it's incredible. And you know what job I want? I want the job of the guy that gets to climb on it. The first guy, the
guy who's on it right now.
Yeah, he just scampers up and is connecting things.
Did you see he looked through the window and waved at him?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Knock, knock.
Yeah, three astronauts and a cosmonaut on board.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is okay, so a larger boat has just pulled up near the site of where the capsule landed in the Gulf, and it had a big... almost like, if I could describe it, like a helipad on the back of this boat.
It's a helipad.
Okay. I'm assuming that's they're going to have to get this thing out of the water because their bodies must feel like they weigh a ton. And I bet it's not going to be easy for them to walk. You don't want them jumping out of the capsule onto your little rubber boat that you got there.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how they're going to transfer them from the capsule into the boat. Maybe they're just going to lift the capsule up and put it on the
ship. That's what I was thinking.
Is
there going to... I think that's probably why the larger boat is there now.
Probably.
Is lift them out of the water, inside the capsule, put it on that helipad or whatever, and then open the doors and get them out.
Get them medical attention, check them up, make sure they're good to go, and then take them back to shore.
It's so cool.
From the text line, if I could just circle this back, the texter writes, to the first hour, kind of like Conway Twitty, they've been where no one's... ever been before.
Okay, all right. Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
How long does First it take time? To get them out?
We're about to find out. I was watching, they had one astronaut on who had been up at the International Space Station for a long time. I don't remember if it was a year or 9 months or 6 months or whatever. He said it takes days, if not a week, before you finally feel like you get your legs back.
He said, just to readjust.
Yeah. He said, I would walk and I'd be wobbly and off balance. Couldn't drive a car because that's what this does. Sam, can we jump into CNN for just a moment, see what they're doing?
Of trailblazers like you, Annalee Fisher, the first mom in outer space, that it didn't even really occur to me to note that she's a woman because it's pretty commonplace now.
Recovery crew to complete their safety checks. Yes, that's one of the things that we always said, that we were looking forward to the time when nobody noticed whether it were male or female. And it's been really remarkable, the progress that's been made in the years since we were selected. And Sonny certainly is a wonderful representative, a helicopter pilot, a test pilot, hard worker. Truly amazed at the women that have come after us. They're so well prepared, so well trained, and it's just proud to have been part of the first steps and to see how much farther they have even gone.
And what is it like, I'm going to ask you too, Scooter Altman, to be away from your family that long? I know you're good friends with the family of Butch as well. That's tough, and especially if you think someone's going to be away for a week and then they're away for who knows how much time. Right. We should note that there was video of Butch Wilmore thanking not only President Trump, but Elon Musk for SpaceX for this trip back, which is great. Kudos to them. And we're really happy that these two astronauts are home. But what is it like to be away from your family like that, like in outer space?
Right, right. You, it is a disconnect because you are way different than everybody else. You know, you look down at the Earth as you fly over, and you're like, hey, that's my hometown. That's where everybody who knew me and loved me and made it possible for me to be here are down there. But I'm up here. There's a separation that you feel and a desire to get home and reconnect with those things. One thing I would say, though, is that even when we were first doing space station, we had the space shuttle and the Soyuz that were going there. And when the shuttle had an accident, we had the Soyuz to go, so there was a backup. Then we developed commercial crew, and we had Soyuz, but also SpaceX, and then hopefully Boeing. So having that multifaceted redundancy has been enabled us to really do more and continue to do missions on the space station like Nick, Sonny, Butch, and Alexander did.
And Jack Fisher, when I was young, and it was the space shuttle was what it was, there was no thought of commercial space travel. There was no SpaceX. There was no Boeing even. Everything was NASA. And Jack, what do you make of the fact that we're in this new world where there are public-private partnerships, but there also is this commercial component?
Yeah, there's a huge commercial component. I work for a company, Intuitive Machines, that just put our second lander on the moon a couple weeks ago.
All right, we'll come back to this in a minute, Sam. Dana just looked over and goes, how did they get out of there?
How did they get them out of there?
I think we're about to find out.
Very carefully.
But I don't know.
It is the top of the capsule that opens up.
I think they're going to put them on the ship first.
I think they would almost have to.
I think they're going to do that as well.
Because can you imagine, I mean...
You don't even want to go there. I know what you're about to say. You don't even have to say it.
Well, what
somebody come out of the capsule and take a White Lotus tumble into the water?
Yep.
Keep in mind, they tell you, you know, when you're on an airplane, not to sit in the seat the entire time because it can lead to blood clots in your legs, etc. They left the International Space Station in the early morning hours today. They were flying through space for more than 12 hours.
Yep.
I think it was a 17-hour
journey
from beginning to splashdown.
Now, I bet that was a really cool ride, but I don't know how you stand up in that thing.
When they first said 16 miles an hour off the air, I looked at Scott. I go, did they just say 60 miles an hour? And Scott goes, 16.
16.
David Muir was not enunciating. I'm like, there's no way they could hit it 60 miles. 16.
Those parachutes really
yes, and
made a big
still
difference.
Jarring, I'm sure.
So, somebody in the text line says, I can hear people talking behind the guys that we're tuned into.
That's NASA.
That was NASA in the background behind Jake Tapper from CNN and his guests.
Yeah, so they have the live feed up. That's how they're obviously getting the footage to play on CNN.
But, you know, you don't want to just have these people climb out of this little ship. They've been seated for 17 hours, presumably.
And fall into the Zodiac. It looks like they're guiding.
Swim!
Looks like they are guiding the capsule toward the ship. The ship moving closer. That way they can hook it up, winch it up, set it onto the ship. It looked like there was a little cradle there on the aft section of the ship to put the capsule into. And then they will probably crack the door.
Except seeing your family, what would be the first thing you would want?
Oh, just pizza. I mean, food.
Yeah. A Chipotle burrito.
Ooh, that would sound good.
Mm-hmm. Burrito bowl, particularly. Oh, tortillas on the side.
You would not leave the facilities.
I'll have my bowl on my throne.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So, and by the way, once they get this capsule back on the boat that pulled up, big boat, once they open the doors, we'll go back to that live, Sam, if that's okay with you. But last night when we were wrapping up the show, we were talking about a warning that had been issued by authorities at K-State and in Manhattan about at least one person who is impersonating a rideshare driver. Well, here comes this story from Tennessee. A bill to charge people who impersonate rideshare drivers with a Class B misdemeanor just became one step closer to becoming law in the state of Tennessee. It passed the House Judiciary Committee after growing concerns about the number of drivers who pretend to be cabs, Ubers, or Lyfts. They lure customers into their car, then end up overcharging for the ride and won't let them out until they pay. Tammy Daly uses Lyft and has heard of this happening to friends, so she always triple checks the driver. Is who they say they are. So Tennessee has taken the first steps towards making it a crime, albeit a misdemeanor, to impersonate a rideshare driver.
And what's in Tennessee?
I don't know.
Nashville, where a lot of people go to party and get their drink on before they call an Uber to go home. And you had to walk like a quarter mile out of the main vein of downtown Nashville to get enough cell service to even order an Uber. Hmm. And when I was there last October, we went every single night and we Ubered home every single night. And there was at least 100 people, once we got cell service, standing in that same area waiting for an Uber to show up.
I guess what shocked me reading that story wasn't that it's happened again, that somebody else is impersonating somebody and, you know, you get in the car not knowing because it's a gray sedan and it looks like a gray sedan, is that it's only a that's their...
6 months in jail and a $500
fine. That is the upgrade we're getting? That it's now going to be a misdemeanor? How is that not a felony if you are knowingly luring someone into your car under false pretense? How is that not kidnapping?
Well, you can make the argument that it is. If you're luring somebody into the car under a false pretense, I would make the argument that that is kidnapping. By the way, they are lifting the capsule out of the water right now.
There we go. There's the crane. That's the way you do it.
Give it a little tug.
That's the way you do it.
Nice and easy.
Is that how you would do it?
That is how I would do it. Do you know how much math has to be involved in what just happened?
Well,
math beyond any of our wildest understandings.
Because that, by the way, they said, and we were reporting earlier, that splashdown was going to occur at 4:57 this afternoon. They had that math already figured out long before the capsule dislodged from the International Space Station. Would you care to guess what minute of the 4 o'clock hour it splashed down in the 57th?
They nailed it exactly.
It splashed down at, based on what I saw on the clock, and we were probably on a delay on TV, at 5:47:48.
Yeah.
They got it within 40 seconds because we were probably on an 8-second delay on the TV.
And they unhooked from the space station 17 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
There is no propulsion for that capsule other than thrusters on the side to keep it, you know, kind of on track of where it's supposed to be going. Everything else is based on gravity. Gravity is pulling it back out of low orbit to splash.
And you have to have a brain to figure out the gravity up there.
Oh, yeah.
Versus the gravity 100 feet lower than that.
And if you're off by that much, everybody dies.
We have to unhook at this exact minute to land in this spot.
At 4:57.
Mm-hmm. All right, it is upright. It looks like a candy corn. It is upright. And
it does look like a candy
heavily
corn.
Burned.
It is heavily burned. That happens on reentry.
And Dana said it looked like a marshmallow.
It does look like a lightly toasted marshmallow.
Yeah. We will join them once they pop that hatch open.
Which might take a few minutes.
Wouldn't it be funny if one of them just popped out and said,
"What's up?
Miss anything while I was gone?"
What's up, britches?
After a hot and sweaty workout, surely the last thing you want to do is put that same activewear back on for round two. But apparently, wearing dirty gym clothing is not all that bad for you.
Oh, I do it all the time.
A French study is ruffling some feathers after claiming that rewearing your activewear is not as bad as you might think. This obviously means without washing it, and might actually be the right choice for the sake of the longevity of your clothes and lowering your water bill. Earlier this year, the French government caused a stir with advice about how often you should wash your clothes. Not surprisingly, this is from the French, recommending that sports clothes in particular are worn up to 3 times before you wash them.
Three times?
That's disgusting.
What kind of sports clothes? Ooh. Like, if you're playing pickleball for an hour and you're running and you're... I don't know that I agree with that.
I have to fully admit that when I started my workout journey 4 years ago, I only had 3 pairs of gym clothes, and I wore them 3 times.
Yeah.
And looking back, that was the most disgusting thing I think I've ever done on a repeated basis.
Now, sports bras and golf shirts always smell. My girlfriend always says, and I love it, you smell like a 12-year-old boy. Those have to go directly into the wash. But the pants, I reuse those all the time. At least.
What about a t-shirt, though?
No.
Like, I was sweating so bad at the gym today, that thing went right into the wash.
I now have 6 sets of workout clothing. And yeah, I do laundry every 6 days.
I do laundry every day.
Okay. Well, that's on you.
That's wild.
Well, T wears 2 outfits a day, one for work and then one when she gets home. And then I wear, like, I go to the gym in the morning or go for a long walk, and then I'll change my clothes right before I come into work.
Now we have a third of a load of laundry.
No, our washers is, it's a stand-up washer. It's not nearly as big as what you would have. And by the way, I did call Sam around 11:55 noon.
Oh, my gosh.
Today?
Yeah. Tell her what I said.
Well, I just got out of the shower. I'm wearing my blue Stafford robe, and I'm feeling very elegant. I said, thank you, man. That's way more information than I needed.
Why would you call him and tell him that?
I said I was feeling regal.
Regal. That's what it was.
Oh, regal. Is that how
and
you
I
feel?
Said, thank you for giving me far more information than I needed. Why are you calling?
So we were talking about some show prep that we were working on, and then I went into the... I have a routine. My life is a routine. And I lay out the clothes that I'm going to wear to work on my bed. And then I went out to the bedroom and I said, I just want to let you know that I am currently naked.
Okay.
And getting ready to put on my basketball shorts.
You should call HR if we had that department, which we don't. But if we did, you should call.
I called. Nobody answered.
Yeah. Speaking of sweat, I love this. When we get back, one March Madness coach says he only recruits players who like this. And I will give you a hint. It is not hard work.
Candy corn.
It is not sweat. He only recruits players who like this. Wait until you hear what it is. It's pretty good.
The capsule is now on the ship, and it has not been detached. Obviously, the door has not been opened. When they open the door, we will go back live to the Gulf on this ship, as the capsule has just come to rest on the back end of this ship here on Dana and Parks.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Now they're giving the capsule like a car wash. They're spraying it down with something. They want it to be nice and clean when the four get out?
Might be cooling off the mechanics on the inside. Make it easier to open the door.
You know when you boil water, Scott, and then you take it off the stove, the pan is still hot?
There was a man literally climbing on top of that thing right after it landed in the ocean.
I think they're just out of an abundance of caution. They're just making sure that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. That's my guess.
And they are opening the door on the side. I did not expect that. I thought they were going to open the capsule up top.
And what? Have them jump out?
Yeah, they are.
Well, that's how they got
ABC.
In there.
David Muir's got this. He's got this.
No, that's CNN. Let's go to CNN for just a second. They're getting ready to open up the door.
The stretchers, just to remind people that if that happens, it's not unusual.
They are now putting the ladder up to open
feeling,
the top capsule.
The feeling of gravity is upon them. But then I imagine their medical tests, and then what? Do they get to eat at some point?
They may get offered a snack, but they'll probably want to be moving back towards Johnson Space Center pretty quickly. So we'll see. I know when I got out of the space shuttle, we went back to crew quarters when we landed at Kennedy Space Center, but you got to see your family pretty quickly. Being out at sea, that's going to delay that a little bit. And I think the families for this are still in Houston, so they're going to see them when they get back home.
And you've been spending some time with Butch's family. They must be really eager to see him.
I think so. I was the crew escort for him when he flew on a shuttle mission, and they were very excited to see him. I know that was in 2009, so this is a lot time since that,
right.
16 years. But they're still going to be excited to see the families back there. I know Butch had said one of the things he was really looking forward to was hugging his wife and hugging his daughters. So that'll be a special moment when he does that.
And what are they doing right now? What are they doing at the top of the capsule there?
They may be, that's the nose cone that comes off so they can dock. They may be working on that to see if they, I don't know if they take that off before or not.
Right, because this is a SpaceX capsule. Kristen, I'm not sure how many of these SpaceX landings you've seen now, but give us your assessment of what's going on.
Quite a few. Well, we're now under 2 minutes to the moment that the hatch is opened and the first member of Crew 9 will emerge from this Crew Dragon capsule. Again, likely on a stretcher, but you never know. We'll see. And just a little bit more in terms of what will happen from there. Yes, there will be medical checks. And then a helicopter is going to take the astronauts back to dry land before they board a flight back to Houston, Texas. And so then they're going to land at Ellington Field, which is about a 15-20 minute drive away from the Johnson Space Center. It's where all the NASA astronauts have their T-38s, their training jets. And they should be there back at Johnson Space Center by the end of today. The astronauts will then spend a few days at the Johnson Space Center. Flight surgeons should clear them to then return home with their families. But they'll likely get to see their families before they actually get the clearance to physically return to their homes. And, you know, gosh, what
the... Here we go. I'm sorry to interrupt, Kristen.
Rich and Sonny must be thinking right now, Jake.
Kristen, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we just got a much better image, and we were told they got the green light to open the capsule, and we got a much better image of them opening the capsule door. And Butch and Sonny's return to Earth after more than 9 months. They were supposed to be up in space at the International Space Station.
And there you have it. The side hatch Let's is listen open in. For the first time since September.
So somebody went in.
We can see some of the protective equipment there that was brought into frame that will help protect the edge of the side hatch, one, from any potential damage. Oh, we can see the recovery crew member there taking photos of the side hatch seal. This is part of the standard operation for recovery. These photos will get saved into our procedure. We'll then install that protective frame around the side hatch. This helps to ensure that the side hatch itself, the edges of it, incur no damage while crew members are coming out from the spacecraft. If you missed it, there was also a recovery team member that went inside. So there are now five people on board the Dragon spacecraft.
And if you are just joining us, it has not yet even been an hour since Crew 9 splashed down off the coast of Tallahassee, Florida at 2:57 p.m. Pacific time. The crew is now on board the recovery vessel Megan, and the hatch is open. The next major milestone that we'll see is when the crew will actually egress or exit the spacecraft. But before that, they'll continue to, the recovery personnel rather, will continue to install that protective area around the hatch and then remove the footrests. So we're a couple minutes away from seeing the crew egress, but not too long away.
We'll probably see those footrests being handed out here in the near future, as I mentioned before. Oh, of course, we got to get a well-documented photo of the moment. Although we can't see it from here, I'm pretty sure there are four smiles on board right now.
Sam, just real quick, we'll go back in a second.
The commander.
Dana just screamed out, "For the love of God, get them off that thing." Anyway, back to CNN. I just thought that was a good laugh.
So generally speaking,
and there they are. Some happy waves, smiles all around back on Earth.
Wow. So cool.
Okay, clearly the people at NASA are not professional broadcasters. So cool.
We have the individuals
in the two centers. What is taking so long?
So they did just, there's only four people left on the capsule. Everybody on the ground who's on the boat has exited the capsule. And they did just have a guy run up to the capsule hatch door with a video camera. And you could see the four astronauts, three astronauts, one cosmonaut. They are still strapped in their seats. Suni, you can make out that Suni Williams was on the far right, or as you're sitting there, she'd be on the far left. But at the camera's view, she was on the right. And we seem to have some... looks like they're handing some things out.
personal items,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, it looked like a watch, actually, somebody's watch or something. And but the crew members were still buckled in when they inserted the camera into the hatch door.
They were moving their feet around. You could see them lifting their legs a little bit. You know, getting the feeling of gravity again, probably.
Sure, of course. You know, I was saying to Dana when they opened that hatch door, that is the first breath of Earth's air that they've had in 9 months.
In and out of the capsule. What are they doing right now?
Well, they're basically, deconstructing the vehicle, pulling the extra equipment out that the crew took with them, making a clear path for them to get out. It is kind of a constrained environment. I think that's a footrest coming out right there, making room for the crew to come out.
Why can't the crew just, are these the stretchers?
Yeah, that's a stretcher going in. So I think they're going to put one of the crew members on that and bring them out like that, just as a precaution, like we heard earlier.
And again, we're doing this just because it's standard operating procedure, pretty much. If somebody has spent this, are they going to do it for all four or just for the ones that were up there for 9 to 10 months?
No, I think it's for all four. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. Although the workout regime that guys are doing these days makes them typically pretty much able to get out and walk around right away. So
right, but they don't want to have an astronaut fall on camera, I would
exactly
say.
And you can see a few astronauts in the back there in the blue suits watching. Typically the head of the office will be down there looking at recovery and a couple other folks.
Jack Fisher, what's going through your mind as you watch this, as you watch
the get me the hell off this thing? That's what's going on in my mind.
Jake, I'm out of questions, Tapper.
This is the equivalent of when your airplane lands and then you're forced to like sit there for like 9 hours
35.
Because you're way in the back and they won't let you off. Did you hear him say their seatbelts are still on? I would have been like, unbuckle, get. I have done my 9 months.
Where's my carry-on?
Where's my child? Where's my, get me off of here.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Maybe if it gets a little bit more exciting, but man, they're going to have to start doing something pretty soon here. We'll come back to
it.
Did
you also
maybe
hear him say, we don't want an astronaut falling on camera? I said, Scott, maybe we just don't want an astronaut falling.
Period. Whether it's on camera or not.
It's not like, these are extreme circumstances here. They just got back to Earth after 9 months.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So we're not going back to the boring NASA coverage.
We have emerging. We do have emerging. They've been taken off on wheelchairs.
Well, they come out on a stretcher first, then they seat them in a wheelchair, and then whisk them away. The cosmonaut, Sam was telling me this because we can't hear the TVs in the on-air studio. The cosmonaut, who was the second person that they took out of the capsule, had been up there for 871 days.
Woo!
That's almost 3 years.
I don't really know what to say about
that. That's 2.5. Wow. Okay.
Makes 9 months not feel like a very long time.
No, right? We'll see when SUNY Williams, and I don't think Butch Wilmore has been taken off yet either. I think they're the last two, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they did spend the least amount of time up there.
That's right.
Before that just splashed down.
That's right. Story here, we might get to this tomorrow. It's from Realtor, about an Arizona couple whose home was sold without their permission.
Oh.
Right? For $200,000. Guess who sold it?
Was it one of those fake title thing scams?
Squatters.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm going to put that one aside for tomorrow. Those stories
make me so mad. All right, and because I tease this, a March Madness coach, this is from Sports Illustrated, says he only recruits players who like this thing.
Is it a food or
sort of
an activity?
One team's March Madness run this year will include a feisty first-round matchup with a serving of waffles on the side. The number 14-seeded Troy Trojans are competing in their third NCAA tournament in program history and will take on number 3 Kentucky on Friday in Milwaukee, hoping to topple the heavily favored Wildcats. Their underdog story this spring has an interesting wrinkle. Apparently, Trojans coach Scott Cross has adopted a rather unorthodox recruiting approach for his team. All of his recruits must like Waffle House.
SUNY Williams now out of the capsule, by the way.
So 3 of the 4 are now out of the capsule. They have to like Waffle House?
In the wheelchair. She's waving. She's smiling. Get that woman a waffle or whatever else she wants. Started off, he says, the first two recruits we brought on campus were driving down Main Street. I point out the Waffle House and I ask him, hey, you want to eat there for breakfast? They were like, Waffle House? Nah, I don't want to go to Waffle House. I'm like, okay, my bad. We'll try to eat somewhere else. Long story short, we didn't sign either one of those guys. The school then brought in another recruit who ended up being like a great standout. He's like, hell yeah, let's go to Waffle House. Coach, y'all got a Waffle House? Can we go there tomorrow? From that point forward, he says, we offhand ask them, do you like Waffle House? If the answer is yes, we'll sign them. If it's no, we never get them.
Huh. I cannot remember.
So you don't have to like waffles specifically, just Waffle House?
It's so good.
Because I don't like waffles, but I can eat Waffle House all day long.
We drove by one the other day, and it was kind of, we were off the beaten path when we saw it, and I go, oh my gosh.
One in Bonner?
I only go to Biloxi Waffle House. There's one on every corner in Mississippi. There's literally a Waffle House across the street from a Waffle House.
The only one I know about out on our side of town is the one in Bonner Springs.
God, get the pecan waffle. It is, I can't even tell you. It is one of the best things I've ever had in my life.
I cannot remember. It may have been years ago in Atlanta, the last time I ate at a Waffle House. I like to keep my money local. I go to Pegas.
Do you really?
Yeah.
They're good.
I like Pegas.
They don't
a lot.
Have the pecan waffle like Waffle House, and I you just, don't feel like you're in a truck stop bathroom while you're eating it.
I don't like all that sugar for breakfast. We need protein for breakfast, people.
They've got eggs. They got
bacon.
They
serve eggs.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like waffles.
Oh. No, I like Pegas. I think that's good. Good food. Traveler, this is from Fox News. A traveler said she received an unexpected request from a hotel after booking a room through Expedia after finding a special deal on the travel site and receiving confirmation of the purchase. The woman received a message from the hotel. Hotel officials requested that she cancel her room reservation.
Oh.
Because apparently the booking that she made on Expedia was too cheap. The rate was
they can do
too
that.
Low.
They can do that in the fine print, Scott. Carrie always tells me, she's my traveler and my travel booking person. She always says to me, book direct. You can get bumped if you don't.
If you book through like Expedia
or
something.
Yeah, what if someone shows up and they want a room and they want to pay $800 a night?
Well, and that was what the hotel's beef was they said you need to call the hotel and cancel the reservation or call Expedia and cancel your reservation in our hotel or we'll cancel it for you.
It feels like you shouldn't be able to be bumped. They can bump you if you book through a third party website.
This individual is actually lucky that they even reached out because most of the time they will just bump you. They overbook most nights, specifically busy nights in hotels, because they expect a certain number of people not to show up.
See, I hate that line of thinking, though.
If all of those people show up, you, who paid $46 a night, you're done.
I don't think they should be legally allowed to do that during surge events either. Well, like, let's say everyone's
airlines,
in town. For
airlines
the
do that.
I know it. I know it. I don't
drives
think they should
me
be able
crazy.
To.
Okay, today, March. So here's the dates for today. March Madness begins tonight.
Oh, that's right. The buy-in teams. What are we calling?
Well, two of them. Well, there are two games tonight.
Yep.
Two play-in games
play
tonight.
It. They're called the first four.
Yeah,
tonight
and then
and tomorrow.
Then the other two are tomorrow night. Today is also Global Recycling Day. Did you know that 85% of everything Americans recycle is made of plastic? Which means it doesn't get recycled.
Did you know that 90% of that 85% never gets recycled?
Probably.
They sold us that bag of goods, back in the 70s, and boy, did we bite.
Celebrating birthdays today, Adam Levine is 46 from Maroon 5 and The Voice. Queen Latifah is 55.
Hmm.
Vanessa Williams, remember her? Miss
yes.
America? The singer, 62.
Scandalous.
Dane Cook, the comedian, he's only 44. Huh. Who knew? All right, we got to run. Bonus Hour is next. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And most importantly, be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.